This morning's Bible reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So if you had a, if you picked up a Bible at the door, that's on page 1137. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It will be start reading from halfway through the last verse in chapter 12. And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
Morning, everyone. Keep your Bibles open at 1 Corinthians 13, because we'll be looking from that this morning. And if we haven't met, my name's Arkos. I work with a group of Christians on campus helping spread the gospel there. And it's my privilege to bring you the Bible talk this morning. Why don't we start by asking God to help us as we think about how love bears all things. Let's pray. Father God, as we look at this passage this morning, as we think about what it means to bear all things, we ask that you would give us hearts that are ready to listen and hearts that are ready to see the glory of your Son, as he bore all things for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, about two Fridays ago, a number of us from the Christian group on campus, Evangelical Christians or EC, we went to a function at the uni bar on campus. Now, a number of international students had put on that function, and it was called a sober party, which is a funny name for a unibar party, but that's what it was called. Anyway, later that night, I got talking with some blokes that were there. They weren't actually uni students themselves, these blokes that I were talking to. And this one guy I was talking to, well, it became apparent pretty quickly that he'd had a few too many, if you know what I mean. He certainly wasn't there for the sober party part of it. He was a little drunk. And so he says to me, "Mate, do you know any of the girls here?" Pointing to the EC girls that were standing around. And I said, "Yeah," afraid of what he'd say next. And then he asked me if I'd introduce him to some of those girls. Well, clearly, I'm not going to do that. I feel very protective toward my EC students, those girls. They're like my younger sisters. I'm almost getting to the age where I could be their dads. No way am I letting this drunk guy anywhere near those girls. And so I said to him that, and he starts getting a little upset at me. He starts throwing a few words of abuse my way. Anyway, I was able to steer him away to do something else, and nothing happened of it. But I left that party feeling pretty angry. And I couldn't stop thinking about what I should have said, about what I should have done, how I should have retaliated for the way that he was speaking, for the way that he was behaving. I thought to myself, I should have asked this guy to step outside and sort it out like a man. I should have decked this guy. Those were the thoughts that were going through my head. I mean, I thought to myself afterwards, I must live such a sheltered life, seriously. I don't run into idiots like this every day. I forget they exist. Have you ever felt like that? Felt like decking someone for the way they spoke to you? For the way they offended you, perhaps? I reckon most of us have been there. Being so angry, so offended with someone, that the thought of punishing them, well, it just felt like the right thing to do. Well, this morning we're going to let the light of the gospel shine into our hearts. We're going to see what God has to say about love. In particular, about loving others even when we feel attacked by them. Loving others even when we feel annoyed by them. We're going to see in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 13 that true love, the love that God wants his people to have, is a love that bears all things. True love puts up with other people. It puts up with their attacks. It puts up with their annoying behavior. True love bears all things. True love endures all things. And so let's begin. If you've got 1 Corinthians 13, or if you haven't, open it up there at 1 Corinthians 13. We'll spend a bit of time there. We'll spend a bit of time in a couple of other passages as well, but I'll let you know as we go through. Now, as you look down in verse 7, I'm sure you might be thinking that a word of clarification is in order. No doubt you're scratching your head thinking, doesn't my church Bible say in verse 7, love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres? Where am I getting this idea of love bearing all things from? Well, for the sake of clarity, the word that the church Bibles, the New International Version, translates as protects, there at the start of verse 7, that's actually better translated as bears or puts up with. Now, don't get me wrong, the English translation you've got in your hands there is excellent. It is really one of the best out there. And the word they translate as protects at the start of verse 7, it can mean that. But it's very unlikely that it does in this particular context. So, for example, almost every other English translation does what the English Standard Version does. They translate verse 7 as, love bears all things, there at the start. And at the end, love endures all things. And so we'll go with that. Love bears all things, love endures all things. That's what we'll think about this morning. And so let's think hard now about what love bearing all things actually means. Now, as I suggested a moment ago, the idea of bearing all things is the idea of putting up with other people's attacks on you because you love them. People attack you even when they shouldn't, and you put up with it. You don't seek revenge, you actually absorb the attack because you love them still. Now, I don't know what your family culture's like. I'm Hungarian by birth, which means that I am a wog. But it's okay, I'm a wog, I can call myself that. I'm an out-and-out wog, like half the Australian soccer team, if I'm not mistaken. Now, the thing you've got to understand about us wogs is that we wear our emotions on our sleeves. I know for many Aussie families, things are very calm, things are kept under the surface, but not with us wogs. All the issues, mate, they are out there. Politics, history, religion, it gets discussed. Go to any Hungarian function and there are going to be some pretty colourful, quote-unquote, discussions going on, let me tell you. My wife, Sarah, actually couldn't believe how in your face some Hungarians could be. Anyway, that's the way I grew up. That was my normal. Now, there may be some advantages to being this open with each other, but at times it can make navigating relationships a little bit complex. Intentionally or unintentionally, things are said in the heat of the moment when you're discussing something. Things are said in the heat of the moment that you regret later on. So, for example, whilst this openness has led at times some great discussions with my dad, as I look at my relationship with my father, I see many instances where in those discussions I have well and truly stepped over the line. I've taken offence at things he's said in those discussions. And so, like any good wog, I've given him a piece of my mind. I've said things that I now look back on in shame. I didn't bear with him. I didn't love him the way God requires me to love him. When I felt offended and attacked, I felt it was my right to be angry. Heck, how dare he say those things to me, I thought to myself. I felt totally justified, so I let him have it with both barrels. Now, have you ever felt like that? Felt so angry with someone because of what they said to you that you just flew off the handle? You became a verbal flamethrower. And at the time, perhaps it even felt good. Or perhaps in your case, you didn't get the verbal flamethrower out, but you got out that ice-cold shoulder. You know what I mean? Suddenly the emotional temperature in the relationship just plummets and you can cut the tension with a knife. And the tension stays that way for days, perhaps even weeks. It's very easy to strike back when you feel attacked. That comes quite naturally to us. But Christians, God's people, are called upon to put up with those attacks, to bear all things, and to love the other person still. Now, at the end of verse 7, if you look down, we have the idea of love always persevering or love always enduring. And in this context, it's very similar to the idea of bearing all things. It's the idea of patiently putting up with suffering, suffering caused by the other person, and loving them still. It's a very similar idea. But let me now just clarify what love bearing all things or love enduring all things doesn't look like. What it doesn't look like to bear all things in love. Firstly, it's not about tolerating or putting up with evil done against others. We're not called to tolerate, we're not called to put up with injustice that you see happening to someone else. Tolerating that sort of injustice against other people, that's not love. So, for example, in James chapter 1, 27, which will come up on the screen, we read this. James, speaking to Christians, says, "Religion that our God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress." Turning a blind eye to injustice, ignoring what others are suffering, that's not what we're called to bear. If you hear your neighbour late one night beating up his wife, then love will call the police. Love doesn't tolerate evil done to others. Love comes to the rescue of other people. Secondly, nor does love bearing all things or enduring all things means that you must stay in an environment where you are getting abused, where you're getting abused. If you're in an abusive relationship or if you're in an abusive workplace, then leave. Get out of that environment ASAP. Paul's not saying here that we're to keep on receiving abuse no matter what. Instead, he's talking about loving the other person no matter what abuse or attack comes your way. If you can stop the attacks happening to you, then do so. There's nothing inherently godly about being attacked. Rather, it's all about how you respond to the attack that counts. So hopefully we've clarified what love bearing all things, what love enduring all things means. So how are you going with this command to love? When that difficult member of your family makes those belittling comments, how do you respond? When your workmate cracks that joke publicly at your expense, what do? When that person in your small group or your gospel community, you know, the one that you find really difficult to relate to, when that person gets on your nerves again, what do you say? Left to ourselves, we're not naturally people who bear with others. We find it difficult to put up with others when they annoy us or when they attack us. And yet here we have it in black and white. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7. The most excellent way that God wants his people to live is to love, such that we bear all things. To love, such that we endure all things. So how can we possibly do it? How can we become people who bear all things, who endure all things? Well, it starts by us taking a close look at the man who truly bore all things, who actually defines what it means to bear all things, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we'll take a look at this Messiah, this Christ, at this man who now rules the universe. And we'll go on a bit of a journey of reflection. We'll first reflect on what he's like, and then take a close look at what he's done. And finally, we'll bring it home. We'll see how this will help us to be people who lovingly bear all things. So to help us think about Jesus the Christ, we'll start by looking at another powerful ruler, another Messiah, as it were, at the President of the United States. Now, it's very interesting. It's been said that when a new US president gets elected, half the country thinks that the Messiah has finally arrived, and the other half wants to leave the country. Well, US presidents certainly are powerful. Earlier this year, when President Obama visited Belgium for a brief 24 hours, he took with him a 900-person entourage, 45 vehicles and 3 cargo planes. Heck, and I thought I packed too heavy for short trips. But President Obama isn't just well looked after. Obama commands the strongest military in world history. In fact, with all his nuclear weapons, Obama could wipe out half the human population within 24 hours. Whichever way you look at it, Obama has power. He's got prestige. He's got importance. But for all his power, and it is real power, for all his power, Obama's nothing compared to the Jewish Messiah. He's nothing compared to Jesus, the Christ, who's now ruling the universe. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, no need to look it up now, Philippians 2, 6, we read how Jesus Christ is in very nature God. Jesus is God, who entered into our world as one of us. Jesus the Messiah is the same God who we read about in passages like Isaiah 40, where the nations of the world, all the nations of the world, compared to this God, are like a drop of water in a bucket. In the words of Isaiah 40, the nations of the world, in all their power and glory, these nations are mere dust on a pair of scales. Before God, all the nations of the world are as nothing. Obama may have power, but it's literally nothing. Nothing compared to God. Nothing compared to the God-man, Jesus Christ. Well, if Obama brings along his 900 closest helpers when he arrives in your country, well, then could you imagine what it would be like if God turned up to our world? I mean, surely he would bring with himself all his heavenly support staff. Surely he would be as pampered as a Saudi prince. Well, not quite. This is where I'll get you to turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 2, if you've got your Bible there. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. It's on page 1162 of your church Bibles. Philippians 2, verse 6. Page 1162, Philippians 2, 6, we read this. Talking about Jesus, Paul says, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or exploited, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus didn't bring his heavenly entourage when he came down to earth. He didn't bring his 900 angels to help him. He didn't come in pomp and ceremony. Instead, he came as a servant. He came as one who serves. But even more than that, he came to serve others by loving them, by bearing with them, by bearing our sin, by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. The God of the universe, whose hands flung stars into space, surrendered those same hands to Roman nails, willingly, bearing the injustice, bearing the horror of crucifixion. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, his entire life was one of lovingly putting up with other people's attacks. And I'll get you now to turn to our final passage, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. That's on page 1201. Page 1 Peter chapter 2, looking at verse 22 as we're thinking about how Jesus put up with other people's attacks. We read 1 Peter 2 verse 22, he, that is Jesus, committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. The infinite, holy God of the universe. He humbled himself to become a man. And not just a man, but a servant of others. And this servant king, even though he did no wrong, he willingly put up with insults from his creatures. He didn't retaliate. He willingly put up with suffering. He was betrayed by a friend. He was condemned in a show trial, whipped and beaten by Roman soldiers, and then the horror, the shame of crucifixion. When he suffered, he made no threats. He lovingly bore all things. We're sorely tempted to get out the verbal flamethrower or the ice-cold shoulder whenever someone lobs that verbal hand grenade our way. We can easily allow bitterness to take root. We can end up avoiding people that annoy us. But Jesus suffered unspeakable horrors, and yet he didn't retaliate. He didn't avoid difficult people. He didn't even get bitter. That's what you call love. A love that bears all things. A love that endures all things. And you know what? Jesus did it to bring us into his kingdom by bearing with his rebellious creatures, by bearing with you and I. Jesus was able to rescue us. He didn't have to bear with us. He could have quite rightly wiped us off the face of the earth for our rebellion against him. But Jesus Christ, the God-man, came into our world, put up with our rebellion, bore our sin to rescue us. Okay, so we've seen that the all-powerful God of the universe, the one who became flesh, this God loves others by bearing with their attacks. We've seen that the holy God of the universe put up with rebellious creatures, put up with their insults, put up with their torture, put up with their murdering him, because he loves us so much. So what does all this mean for us? How does Jesus bearing all things help us to become people who bear all things? Well, let me try and explain with an illustration. An illustration that we'll see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. An illustration that will hopefully help us see what it means for us to lovingly bear all things like Jesus lovingly bore all things. Now, it's been pretty cold these last few mornings, and it's pretty tough to get out of bed. But I've made a commitment with a few friends to go exercising a couple of times a week. go bike riding, do a gym class on Thursday morning. But I've got to tell you, when that alarm goes off at 0:30, it is really hard to get out of bed. And the temptation is so great to just stay there in those warm doona covers. But I've decided in my head to do exercise. My mind is made up, and where the mind goes, the body follows, even at that unearthly hour. Well, if Jesus is your Lord, if Jesus is your Saviour, then you have been joined to a new body. You're now part of Christ's spiritual body, with Christ as the head. We see this if you go back to 1 Corinthians, if you've got your Bible there. And if you check out the previous chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you check out 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and if you have a look at verses 12 and 13 there, Paul starts by giving us an anatomy lesson. And he says, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all of its parts are many, they form one body. That's anatomy 101. And then he goes on, so it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. And in verse 27 he continues, now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. Each of us is now body of Christ, and so Christ is the head. We are members of Christ's body. And if you're really a member of Christ's body, then guess what? We don't get to call the shots anymore. Christ does. We're now part of his body. He's the head, and where the head goes, the body follows. What the head decides, the body does. If Jesus is your Lord, then you're part of Christ's body. That's your new identity. And so we're to live as part of Jesus' body. So the next time your spouse makes those cutting remarks and you're tempted to pull out that ice cold shoulder, remember whose body you belong to. Remember who's your head, namely Jesus, the one who put up with a lot more injustice than we ever have. And yet he didn't trade insult for insult. That's how our head lived. And where the head goes, the body follows. The next time you're with that person that you find difficult and annoying, remember your head, Jesus, the one who came into a world of annoying people, not to avoid them nor condemn them, but to love them. And in his case, die for them, rescue them. That's how our head lived. And where the head goes, the body follows. The next time you find yourself drawing back from that difficult person, remember your head. Remember Messiah Jesus, the one who left the throne of heaven to become a servant and serve a world full of annoying, rebellious, evil people. That's how our head lived. And where the head goes, the body follows. Remember the one who loved you so much, so that as his body, you might do likewise. I started by telling you the story of my run-in with that drunken bloke. I told you the thoughts that were running through my mind, thoughts of retaliation, thoughts of hatred, thoughts of physical violence. Now, in God's providence, all that happened while I was preparing this talk on love bearing all things. God's sense of humour, I'm sure. But as I was thinking these thoughts, suddenly it hit me. Would Jesus have traded insult for insult? Would he have used his divine powers to destroy this guy? Maybe turn him into a toad right then and there? Well, we now know the answer to that question. Jesus was in a situation like that, except 1,000, 1,000,000 times worse. And yet, he didn't hurl insults. He made no threats. Instead, he trusted God. He kept on loving, loving with a love that bears all things. If you're a member of Jesus' body here this morning, let's remember what Jesus did. Let's remember our head so that we might do likewise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love that Jesus has shown us, a love that bore all things so that we might come to know you, so that we might become part of your body. Father, as your body, help us to follow Jesus faithfully. Help us to lovingly bear all things for Jesus' glory. Amen.